Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, no matter who we are, no matter what we've gone through, we have life that we live. We have questions. We hi, Emmy. You get there. You know, there's always questions. Yes. We want assurance. We want God to hold us tightly, wrap his loving arms around us and say, I've got you.
That's right.
Right? Because sometimes we're scared. Sometimes we're lonely. Sometimes we're rejoicing. Or on top of the mountain, it was saying, you know, the hills are alive with the sound of music, you know, and we're so happy. And other times, we are in the deepest, darkest valley that we wonder if we can ever get through it. So I have a few questions just to start. But the name of this message this morning is The Chosen. The Chosen. It's mentioned that a lot in the Bible, that God chose us, but we didn't choose him. And that's, you know, it's hard to understand. The questions that I'm going to propose in the introduction is maybe not for you or for you, but it might be for somebody that you know. So don't take this to heart that I'm talking about you, particularly Joan or Bob or Steve. But we do have questions. Sometimes we say, who am I? What am I? Why am I? You know, it's a constant theme that I have in my life that I just want to make sure that I'm the person that God made me to be, right? In Genesis 1:27, it says that God made us like him. In the image of God, both male and female, we were made like him. That's kind of hard to understand, too. What is God like? I don't feel like I'm the image of God. But that's what he says. And it says, who am I? You know, I'm just going to flip over here real quick to Genesis chapter 2. And Genesis chapter 2, it says, then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Okay, we have the spark of God in us. We have the breath of God that gives us life. You know, it's worth considering for a long time. It just really takes some time to think about what is the energy that's in me that makes my body continue to work? Even when I'm sleeping at night, I got you know, Cinerama going on. You know, I got all kinds of things I'm thinking about. When I wake, I'm thinking about things. My heart is working. My whole body is pumping away, working. And it's like, where's the battery? Is my battery ever going to go dead? What we know for sources is like you either got to plug it in or you got to have some kind of a battery or plutonium or something in there that's going to keep you going. So what am I? Who am I? So once again, then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now I'm going to jump over to Ecclesiastes. And we'll see the other side of things. It says in the last chapter of Ecclesiastes, verse 7, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. The spirit of God, he put in us. And when you know, he gets kind of poetic and a little bit before, they said, remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed, the pitcher by the well is shattered, and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return back to the ground, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. So we are a cycle. For a part of our lives, we were made, and God breathed into us the breath of life, and we became a living being. And here we are, every day, we're still doing things, and God is inside us, being God inside us. I mean, that's who He is, right? He breathed into us. But then when the body is done, like I mentioned many times, I just like this line, Lord, my body has been a good friend, but I won't need it when I reach the end, because the dust is going to go back to the earth where it came from, and the spirit is going to go back to God who gave it.
That's right.
Right? So another question is, why was I created? Why am I here? What's my purpose? And it says in Isaiah 43, verse 7, that we were created to bring glory to God. So in other words, praise God and make Him happy. I like to ask myself all over and over again, Lord, are you glad that you created me? Does it make your heart happy of the life that I'm living? Right, Emily? You got such a pretty smile. Sometimes I feel like I'm living a selfish life, and I'm just after my own selfish gain. And I think, but God, I want to do what you want me to do. Help me to do that. You know? Okay, so we have these questions, and the big one, I suppose, is what's after death? We know that all of us have that day that's coming. We don't know when it's going to be. To some, it happens early. We almost lost Emmeline 2 years ago on this date, right? She was rushed to the hospital in Worcester, and they rushed her down to Children's in Boston because she's got type 1 diabetes. And we wondered that her numbers were so high if she was going to make it. Okay? Every one of us has a story, or will have a story, like that someday. Are you right?
Yes.
Yeah. So when the day comes, whether we're young or old, when the day comes, what's that river like that I'm going to be crossing over? You know, the poetic language in the Bible that says we will cross the Jordan to go into the next life. If we have come to believe that God made us and He created all this world, how hard is it to believe that there's something better for us after this, this I'll call it a flimsy, body dies, right? What's He going to give us next?
Right.
That great, wonderful Creator, what's He going to do? So I feel like I look like, I'm not going to say in whose eyes, but in some eyes, I look like a bulb, in a flower bulb in the fall that looks like I'm no good at all. It looks like a clot of dirt, right? Like, you know, you stick it in the ground 2 or 3 inches and the next life that pops up is that beautiful flower, right? And it might not be a flower, it might be an acorn that grows up 100 feet to be an oak tree. But, you know, God does those mighty, wonderful, beautiful things. Do we ever doubt that He's going to do those beautiful things to me? But the question is, do we all get to have that reward in the end? Do we all get to share in the, I'll call it a reward of this life?
Mm.
I want to, as much as lies within me, study God's word to find out if this is going to happen for me. So I want to turn to Matthew chapter 22. That might sound familiar because Mike Swanson was here for 2 weeks. His past two sermons were in Matthew 22. But you know, the first sermon that he gave on Matthew 22 was about the wedding feast. And Mike was very analytical about it, so I'm going to take a different approach. Remember Mike was saying, who votes it's going to be like this or like that, or what do you think this means and that means? I'm going to take the whole general idea of Matthew 22 where it says that Jesus answered and spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out the slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. They were unwilling. Again, he sent out other slaves, saying, tell those who have been invited, behold, I had prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fattened livestock, and all butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own a farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. These people that are saying, come to the feast. I don't want to come to the feast. I'm going to kill you. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but that's what God's family, the Israelites, did to him. Okay? He says, but the king was enraged and sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. A little bit of history. In 70 AD, Titus the great Roman general, went into Jerusalem and destroyed the whole city. Jesus said, in predicting it, that not one stone will stay upon another. And the Jews, his people, were scattered to the ends of the earth. Okay, no longer did they have a temple there. No longer did they give sacrifices to the Lord. It was destroyed. Then he said to his slaves, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. So therefore, go to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast. And those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good. And the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. Didn't Paul receive that message that I want to send you to the Gentiles? Okay, because the Jews have rejected me. Okay, my family, the ones who had my law, the ones who had my miracles, blessing them from time to time, from beginning of time on to that time, they rejected me. But it was filled with the evil and the good, right? But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw there a man not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We don't often preach about hellfire, do we? There is another place. If you're not invited, if you're not accepted into heaven because of your life, there's only one other alternative. It's going to the place where the Lord is not. There's a separation between you and God, never to be had again, never to have that fellowship with God again. In fact, it's going to be a wicked place full of pain. I don't want to go to that place. I want to go to the good place. I don't want to lose. I want to win. So, you know, the wedding feast was for the king's son. Who was the king's son? Certainly it was Jesus. They were unwilling. I'd like to take a look over at John chapter 1. It says in verse 11 that he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. They did not receive him. But as many as did receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believed in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's like, who am I, Lord, that you would accept me? His own rejected him. You know, it says in the next line there in Matthew 22 that many are called, but few are frozen. Okay, just a little side note.
Chosen?
What did I say?
Frozen.
Oh, you know why I was going to do my side note? A friend of mine at work said one time, you know, when there was a blizzard going on, he said, many are cold, but few are frozen. I had that stuck in my head. All right. Barry. So many are called, but few are chosen. Who are the chosen of God? What was it, his people, that were his people from the very beginning? Or did he turn his head to another people? That's us. Okay? The Gentiles were not Jews. They were not his people. But he said, if you will accept his gospel, right? You can have this life. I'm willing to give it. In fact, he said, come to me. Come. All who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest.
Yes.
Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. There is peace that God is willing to give. Right? Often quoted by me is to rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And that wonderful God, right? The wonderful God that you asked him things, that you had a prayer request, you brought to him your supplications. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We're told to pursue peace. You know, he has this life of wonderful peace. Joy. He said, let the joy that is in me be in them. Right? We have a hope that goes beyond normal hope. We have convictions that all the things that he said is true.
Amen.
You know, I was looking at this song and In Christ Alone that we sang this morning. He says, helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness scorned by ones he came to save. He was scorned by ones he came to save. So he found them unworthy to be his wedding guests.
Mm.
Okay? So We have this ideal. Like, am I one of the chosen? You know, another word for chosen is the sanctified. He has been sanctified. Hey, Richard, you over there?
I am, sir.
You have been sanctified when you got baptized a couple of years ago.
Amen.
Okay, you washed clean for a holy purpose.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
This sanctification has another word for those kind of people that were sanctified. They're called saints. Master, do you ever walk around and say, I am a saint of God? You know, it's like, I am a holy one. I am partnered with the divine. You know, we think so little of ourselves, we tend not to say that. If someone said, Are you the holy man of God that lives in that apartment over there?
Yes, like,
yes I am. Not from anything that I have done.
That's right.
But what God has done. God has given me this gift. And Like Dominique said earlier in our class, that we need to give that gift to others, to say, you too can have a gift of eternal life. It's just a wonderful gift. So the chosen, the saved, eternity in heaven, are those things, it's like, who are they? Can I be one of those? Am I sure I'm one of those? If we ask, he said, you can come. You can be saved. You can be washed. You can be sanctified. You have the promise from the one who cannot lie.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say that again. You have the promise of one who cannot lie.
Amen.
That you are going to be with him forever. Don't be saying, I sure hope I go to heaven when I die. Because you're denying that promise that he gave you. You're hoping that you've been good enough, that you've done enough good deeds in your life. No! You don't save yourself. Christ saved you. All you did was choose him.
By grace.
By grace you have been saved. Okay? So over in that next verse in John 1, remember it says he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But I like how Mike you likes to emphasize that word but. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God.
That's right.
Even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood. I wasn't born one of God's children, the Israelites. I'm born in Massachusetts. I'm just an American far, far, far away from Israel. Nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So One thing that we were talking about with Mike when he talked about this verse was the wedding clothes. The guy was thrown out into outer darkness because he didn't have his wedding clothes. I would have to say, when we receive Christ, our filthy garments are taken away and he gives us the right righteous clothing. We have, like it says in Galatians 3:27, we have been clothed with Christ. Okay, this is our wedding garment, that we're going to be ready for the marriage supper of Christ. And Christ the Lamb is the groom, and we are the bride of Christ. Right? We are the bride. We're supposed to be the bride, all in white. No sin, no spot or wrinkle upon us, because he hasn't forgiven us some of our sins. We don't go around in our wedding clothes and we'll be spattered with mud from passing cars or whatever. And we say, how can I go to the wedding feast like this? God has cleansed our every stain. Our every sin is gone. Amen?
Amen.
It's so wonderful. So we have been given our wedding clothes, and I'm going to go where Bob just told me to go, over in Ephesians. I can get over there. Chapter 2.
Grace.
Yeah, it says, among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, imagine that, we were dead in God's eyes, because we were in our sins. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow, it's just amazing. In order that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. You know, I could have a weak faith and say, well, I know when the time comes, I know Bob's going to go to heaven, but I wish I had as much faith in myself, because I could still remember bad things in my past that I have done. So when we think like that, we're not accepting God's promise. His grace, not by works that we should boast. For we are his workmanship. Remember when he created us in the first place? For we are his workmanship, created now in Christ Jesus. We are created in the beginning of our life. Now he has created us in Christ Jesus. For good works, which God prepared us beforehand, that we should walk in them. I want to mention this, that we were created for good works. We were created not because of we were saved not because of our works. Mm-hmm. But once he saved us, he expects us to have good works. Right? Right to become children of God. Let me see, where am I here? Revelation 19, I'm going to start with verse 5 beginning. And a voice came from the throne saying, give praise to our God, all you his bondservants who fear him, the small and the great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the sound of many waters, the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, hallelujah! It was a great sound, a great, great sound. Hallelujah. What does hallelujah mean? Praise the Lord. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. And it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. John was taken up to heaven to hear these true words. Right? But what's going on with the previous verse? It says, for the fine linen of your wedding garments is the righteous acts of the saints. I thought it was nothing to do with our acts. But yet, it does. I'd like to turn to John chapter 15. Jesus said that he is the vine. In verse 1 it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. So sometimes we go through times of pruning. I don't like pruning things. You know, we've got a Rose of Sharon outside of our house that every year it grows about 2 feet, literally. And I have to keep on pruning it to get it shaped right And so it'll make it more healthy. It'll make more branches grow in the middle of it. So it'll be thicker and thicker and thicker. More flowers will pop out. So I take my hedge trimmer, and I take off about 2 feet on the top and around the sides and make it nice. And it sure looks ugly after I do that. I mean, really, about as ugly as me. But when God keeps pruning me, I hope that by his pruning, I'll produce more fruit. Okay, now, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Remember we used to sing that? I am the vine, and you are the branches. Something like that.
Yeah.
His banner over me is love. Where am I? Okay. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Why do I go here? Because I want you to see that sometimes the grace movement says, all you do is get baptized, you know, and you have the grace of God, and that's all you got to do. You're in Christ now. We were given grace to produce good works, right? The works of the kingdom. God wants our kingdom. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God's will, it needs to be down here. Just like it is in heaven. If we don't do good works, the works of God, in other words, right? He's going to cast us away from him and throw us into the fire. So it's very, very important that we, once we are saved, that we do the work of God. So I kind of call those people who are saved by grace and then they don't do anything, because they are the frozen chosen. All right? They can't move because they're frozen solid. They're the frozen chosen. We want to be chosen to do God's work.
Yes.
We don't want to be frozen in place and say, I can't do anything. I can't talk to anybody about Christ. I can't do the works of God at all. Those who do the work of God, remember what it says in Matthew in the Beatitudes? Blessed are those, in verse 6, blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. I mentioned in class this morning, we need to be hungry for God's word. We need to be thirsty. Those who are thirsty, Jesus said, come to the waters. He says in Revelation, right? Come freely. I will give you the waters of life. If we're thirsty, we will come. But there's many out there in the world that says, I'd rather go and tend to my own farm. I'd rather go and tend to my own business. I don't want to go to that feast. I want to do my own thing. Okay. So let's see, where am I here? Jeremiah chapter 29. We, you know, so many of us like that song. We got that verse, really. In Jeremiah 29. But we kind of stop at 29:11. 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Well, that's very nice. I'm thankful that he doesn't have calamity in his plans for me. But he gives us a future and a hope. Then, when he does do that, right, the next verse is, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart, and I will be found by you. I will be found by you. So there's a part of us that want to be God's. And maybe somebody has said, seek God with all of your heart. And they say, I don't know how to do that. How do I seek for God? Is he over here, behind that bush? Is he behind your car? Is this hide and seek? You're hiding on me, God? What does that mean to seek after God with all of your heart? And if you do that, you will find him, God said. So we have to talk to him all the time. God, I'm still looking. I'm still wanting to know. And what does God say? He says to read his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, in here, this is one of two places we learn about God. This is the only place that we learn about Jesus and his salvation. This is the only place in his word. So why does it go under your coffee table during the week and not get read? Why is it not studied? Why when you crack it open, go like a brand new book? Because you're not reading it. It's like you're not thirsty for God. You don't care what he says. God wants us to want him so bad. We long for him. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 42. We could sing it if you wanted to. As the deer panteth for the water, right? As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? It's like I want God more than anything. When you have that thought in your heart that you just want God, you're always asking God, teach me, help me to understand your word, guide me. Hear my prayers, O God, don't turn a deaf ear. In Psalms 143, verse 5, it says, and 5 and 6, pardon me, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy doings. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch out my hands to thee. My soul longs for thee as a parched land. So he says he meditates on all thy doings from the days of old. What would that be? I muse on the work of thy hands. Let's turn over to Romans 1. Romans 1, verse 19 beginning says, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. So they are without excuse. So we have the Word of God to learn about Jesus. We have the Word of God to learn about God the Father. Right? But also, God has made himself evident to the whole world. To the whole world. Because of the things that he created, so that we are without excuse. If you try to tell me that forest over there was by accident, right? Just think of anything in nature. Just came about by accident. It was a freak of nature. It was a little things bombarding each other in the swamp. 50 gazillion years ago. You really believe that? You can believe that all these things happen by accident? I was watching a program one time about Colorado or someplace out west, someplace where it's about 110 degrees in the summertime, and it was like a death valley. Maybe the story was about death valley. It was sand. It was nothing out there. Every once in a while, you might see a little lizard run across the ground. Okay, there was nothing there alive, practically. And then all of a sudden, the rains come. They haven't seen the rains in months. Then all of a sudden, the rains come. And those seeds that have been lying dormant under that sand, under that ground, all of a sudden burst forth. And you know the magic of fast-forward photography. It just shows all these things growing up, all these flowers, the petals coming out and say, look at me, I bring glory to God, right? I mean, it's just amazing. You can believe that's all by accident, those things, then you're not worthy. You're not worthy of God. James 4:8 says to draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Don't say, God, draw near to me. Draw near to me. Draw near to me. You draw near to him. Do whatever you can to understand who God is, to look at the things that he has made and just praise him in his creation. Look at God's word and just be so excited about it that you're drawing near to God. Right? If you do that, he will draw near to you. In Romans 10:17, remember I told you that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we read God's word, we hear his voice, and we gain our faith. It brings understanding to life. God's word brings understanding to life. Remember the questions in the beginning? Who am I? Why am I? What's after death? All these questions that we can't seem to understand, can't seem to know for sure. God brings understanding about these things. And what does that do for us? Those who accept it, by the way, it brings us peace. It brings us peace. It brings us joy. Because we know that we are enveloped in God's arms, mm-hmm. right? And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Mm-hmm. We praise God. We obey God. We, the chosen. You know what the chosen do? We hear God's word. We see his creation. And we want to go to him, and we want him to cleanse us. Right, Richard?
Yeah.
We want him to cleanse us.
Amen.
And he does, because he is a good God. We go and he cleanses us and makes us as clean as could be, and he gives us his wedding clothes so that we may be invited to the marriage of the Lamb. The chosen here, the chosen repent, are baptized, and the chosen live for him. Almighty God, Father, we love you and thank you, God, so much.
Yes.
For your creation that we stand in awe at how wonderful you are. And we don't even know the half. We don't even know hardly anything, only the few things in our environment that we can see. But there's so much more of your creation that we stand in awe. And God, we want to bring you glory. Help us, God, to increase our faith by seeing your creation. We want to increase our faith, God, but by walking with Jesus. We want to increase our faith, God, because we want to share with others. God, help us. Lead us I pray, guide us in all righteousness.
Yes.
We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.